morning, church.
Good morning.
Truly, it is a blessing to be here. I'm glad. You just don't know to have all of a family here. So forgive me if I sound kind of broken to you. It's just getting them all back up here. It's big for me. I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me the opportunity to come before you. And I can honestly say I've grown with you in my life. I appreciate that. You know, Christianity is not one of those things that you can just put on and at the snap of a finger, you're good to go for the rest of your life. It's something every day. And even though I don't see you every day, don't come by, may not call or whatever the case may be, the impact that you have on my life, just looking back, knowing that I have you as a friend and a family, helps me go through the day. And it helps me to look forward to life now. I want to thank the leadership in the church for allowing us this opportunity. You don't have to do that. No one can ever overemphasize the importance of good leadership. You can't. And just by the sheer fact that the church is not filled from one end to the other, it's evident that they're doing something right. Trust me. When you got one filled up to the wall, something's going on. Something is going on. Thanks to my church family, y'all keep me smiling. Again, couldn't ask for a better group, a better opportunity. And my family. You know, they add a lot of purpose to your life. Family is important. Family is important. And that's the one thing that I think the Bible mandates for us to look at each other in the church as family. When you get to that point, that means you're unconditionally in love with each other. Regardless of how ugly I am, bad I am, sorry I am, even regardless of what I've done wrong, you're supposed to forgive me and we come back. That's the wonderful thing about God. I know you don't want to hear all of that. You didn't come to hear all of that. You come to hear me, and I'm not the best guy, and it is my turn again. Curtis, put me up here. It's my turn again. But I don't see it as a turn as per, you know, who's going to feed the hogs or go out there and get the water for the chickens. I don't see it like that. I see it as a good thing. A good thing. I thank you for this opportunity. So, my message today is going to be a little bit different. I want you to look at me different. I want you to see me different. I want you to listen different. I want you to understand different. When you go out of here, I want you to take life differently. We're here to make life better for all of us through God. So without further ado, I bring your speaker up for this morning.
I can't breathe. Plot twist. How you doing? I know everybody was up here ready to hear my dad. I'm not my dad. First of all, it is really good to see y'all. It is really good to see you. It's really good to see you in the house of God. My dad gave a beautiful introduction. I don't know how if I can top that. So we're just going to go ahead and dive right into it. I've preached a lot of times, and I'm not bragging. I'm only telling you that because I want to tell you the origin of this sermon that I'm about to give to you now, or this lesson. I initially didn't want to come behind the pulpit because I feel like it's a big responsibility to get behind here and preach. Now, when I was younger, and by younger, I mean 13, 14, 15 years old. The more I grew with God, I saw, you know, like I love comic books. I associated the preacher with the superhero, you know, because he's delivering God's word. So what better way to be Batman, which is my favorite superhero, than, he knows, that brother knows, than to preach, than to preach. And so I preached a lot of sermons when I was younger, but as I grew older and I learned through life, it's a big responsibility to get behind this pulpit and talk about what God wants you to talk about. And it's even bigger responsibility when you face life and to be honest about it. And so here recently, I was just talking to my parents, and I was just simply bragging about God. I was just simply, they was asking me how I was doing, and I was just talking about how good God is, you know. And after I had talked to them about 2 minutes into the conversation, they was like, my mom said, stop right there. Stop. That needs to preach. You need to preach that. You need to preach that. And I initially didn't want to, guys, because I don't want to get up here. I feel like as a Christian, you deserve better if someone is going to preach to you. And that's just me being harder on myself. But my parents thought that the message was worthy. I do agree that the message is worthy of being heard. And the more I thought about it, it's really not about the messenger when it comes to preaching. You know, I did some research on it, and I tried to look up perfect preachers without being said. I'm sure you've figured out how many I came across. Jesus was the only perfect one, guys, and therefore, I don't want you to see me. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. So I want you to try your best to look past his suave, debonair, smooth. I want you to hear what I'm saying, guys, because it is very genuine, and I want you to take it with you. It is going to be a lesson that all of us need to hear. It's a lesson that we all do need to hear. I don't even have a fancy title for it, as much as I like to have titles for my sermons. I just call this Lesson 2021, because this is something that we all need to really emphasize this year. So, with all that being said, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to start off in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. But we're going to start there. Now, keep in mind that everything that I'm going to be telling you today is about making you a better you. And by better you, I mean a better Christian, because that's what a better you is to be a better Christian. If you didn't agree with that, you wouldn't be here. So you're obviously here because you want to be a Christian, a good Christian, a very good Christian, one that would get to heaven. That would be a good Christian. So that's what this whole lesson is about. It's about making you a better you. And I want you to think about all the things that I talk about, how that relates to you, and how that could make you a better you. And to help you with that, I'm going to use myself as a parallel for you, because I don't want you to feel like you are by yourself in trying to make you a better you. I don't want you to feel like no one understands or no one cares, because that's not what this is about. So, chapter 4, Proverbs, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my works and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline the words from my mouth. I'm going to stop right there. Everyone has heard the phrase, and all the things that you go and get, make sure you get understanding. That's where this comes from. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because we've all heard the phrase, also, I got lost in the world and I had to go find myself. So, hold on to that thought. About 2 weeks ago, the general manager for my company come across to me, and he just asked me how I was doing. Like always, I tell him I'm doing fine. He always asks me, are they treating you well, Greg? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing fine. It's important that you understand it because the general manager for my company, which is the second biggest plumbing company on the southeastern eastern side of the United States, the general manager just got hired about 2 months ago. He's a real wealthy guy, real powerful guy. He has really no need to talk to me. I'm just a grunt compared to this guy. But he paid attention to me after a meeting where I just spoke up and told him how I feel about some certain things. Ever since then, he's always followed me and asked me for my opinion and everything. So 2 weeks ago, he was like, Greg, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm doing great. Any day I come back from the job is a good day, you know. And he was like, good, good. And then he just bragged to one of my supervisors and says, I love talking to Greg. He's always happy. He's always honest. Now, I want you to hold on to that. Now, this is a job that I have been working at for 2 years come May next month. Now, let's rewind. So, about, let's see, it's 2021. We'll say about 7 years ago, I was in a very turmoil kind of place in my life. As a Christian, as a man, as anybody, I was lost, so to speak. My dad, my parents wanted me to do something, and I was smelling myself as a man. I didn't want to listen to my dad at the time, and so all I had was my car, which I didn't buy it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I had gone on, and I wanted to leave my dad and do my own thing. I wanted to be by myself. And I want you to hold on to that thought because we're about to talk about two types of Christians, the Christian you think you are and the Christian that you really are most of the time. And then I'm going to help you to bring you back to what the Christian you need to be in order to get into heaven, which is the Christian you should want to be. I ran away from my dad. I ran away, and I was not looking for understanding. I was just looking for my peace. You understand? You see what I'm saying? And the reason why I'm telling you that is because we do that a lot as a Christian. It's not about the law of God or the morals or you being a Christian at the time. It's you about you being heard. It's about your point at the time. That's where you get the Dudley Do-Right from. And that's why it is imperative that I started off with that verse about getting understanding, because in all the things that you get, whether you get a job, you get a degree, you get this, you get a car, you get a house, get some understanding. And by understanding, it doesn't just mean knowledge. It doesn't just mean that, because a person can know a lot of things and still not understand something. So it's not about how many things you can quote. It's about what do you understand. And understanding is a more intimate word, meaning relationship with something, to understand it, to comprehend it. And that is talking about God. And we're going to get there. So I ran away from my dad. I was tired of hearing him. He kept yelling at me. I was tired of hearing it, y'all. So I got in my car, and I left. And I didn't talk to my dad or my parents for some months, and my brothers. And for the lack of a better phrase, I was homeless. And I know that's an ugly picture to paint, but I need you to hold on to that picture for the sake of this whole lesson. So, with that being said, in that story you have me right here. I just left my dad. I'm in the world. You don't know where I'm at, and I don't want you to know where I'm at. All I have is my car. And all I've told y'all is that I need you to have understanding. You need to get understanding. And then we're going to talk about two different types of Christians. So with that being said, we're going to talk about the first Christian. This is the Christian that you think you are. This is the Christian that 9 times out of 10, this is the type of Christian that people think they are. And this is the reason why they feel that they're right in running away and going to do this thing, because they feel like they made the right decision. And they have a little piece of something to stand on, and then they use that to make their own decisions not based on God, which is what I need you not to do. Do not lean on your own understanding. You are going to fail every time. So, with that being said, let's talk about the first type of Christian. We're going to go to John chapter 18, verses 1. If you know your way around the Bible, this is your time to shine, because I'm giving you a couple of verses and I want y'all to get to them fast. So, because I'm not going to sit up here and talk to you for an hour. They won't let me do that. I'm not my dad. I'm not cool enough to let you let me do that. So, John chapter 18, verses 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. All right. And it says here, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the where he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither, and lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Then answered him Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as then he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked him them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. And if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of them which thou givest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the ear of the priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malichus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? All right, now, I know that was very poetic. That was very poetic, and you kind of got lost in translation what happened. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to break it down. This is what happened. The scene is being set that there is a garden that Jesus constantly went to. And it wants to point, the author of this book wants to point that out to you because Judas is betraying Jesus in this moment. And this is how he knew where to ambush him at, is because he's been here constantly. That's why they wrote it like that. Here comes another miracle, though. When the people come with Judas, the soldiers and everything, to arrest Jesus that we all know about, I don't know if you knew this or not, but those soldiers did not know Jesus looked like that. They didn't know Jesus looked like that at all. But Jesus knew what was going down. Jesus knew that this was about to happen. He knew this. So when they showed up ready to arrest Jesus to make sure that none of his friends got hurt, Jesus walked outside and said, who are y'all looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I'm that guy. And they said, whoa, and fell back. We don't know why. We don't know why. It could be because maybe they've seen him before. And he was a cool guy. It could be because he didn't look like somebody who was going to be the destroyer of paganism and all of this. He didn't look like the Son of God. We don't know why. But for some reason, when this man went out there and said, I'm the guy you're looking for, leave them alone, everybody fell to the ground. I mean, you hold on to that. So they got back up. That's how much they fell on the ground. They got back up, and Jesus had to ask them again. Who y'all looking for? We said we were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And it sounded like you said that was you. And Jesus was like, that's me, baby. I'm Jesus. And I want you to, and if that's who you're looking for, arrest me, so that they don't get hurt. Because the prophecy has already been fulfilled, or said, that none of them will get hurt. And it's my job to make sure that I follow my Father's word. But that's a whole different sermon. This is the part that I want to get you to, the part where this is the type of Christian that we think we are. See, as a Christian, we think we're always right, and we're ready to jump up on what God, we feel like God told us to do. And we're ready to do that, even when it's wrong. So here comes Peter. Whoa! This is my man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all not finna take Jesus. So what he do? Sing, he's ready. You know what I mean? And honestly, I'm with him. That's the truth, though. It sounds funny, but you need to understand that. You're with him, too. Because we all don't like to hear the story about when Jesus got arrested, because we know what happened. And so in these type of situations, when it comes to explaining something to somebody or trying to convince somebody to come over to Christianity, because we know we're so right, we come off aggressive in our approach. To the point where we're cutting off an ear. This person don't even hear what you're saying. This person can't even hear what you're saying because of how aggressive you came. They didn't even receive the message. And that's the type of Christian we think we are. We're with this Dudley do right. You know what I'm saying? Doing it right for God. And he cut the ear off of the man. What did the Bible say? Jesus was like, yo, put your sword up. And he healed the man that he cut the ear off. Because Jesus knows, and then this is the part that may get you. Will you not let me drink from the cup my father give me? That is a poetic way of saying, would you not let me do what I'm supposed to do? Would you hinder me from doing what God told me to do? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But it's the right thing to do. Don't stop me from doing the right thing. That's the type of Christian we think we are. We think we're the one that jumps up and cuts off anybody who would try to arrest our Lord. This is the type of Christian you really are most of the time. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. This is going now you're finna be mad at me, guys. You're about to get mad at me. And it's okay. It's okay because I was mad at myself too. But we got to get past it so that we can all get to heaven. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 65. 75. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. And the Bible reads, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came up to him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Now stop right there. Now this dude, he just cut. You see what I'm saying? He just cut the ear off. He just cut the ear off of the officer who just tried to arrest Jesus. So if anybody was Jesus, supposed to be Jesus' right-hand man, it's this guy right here. It's this guy. This guy. If I was a soldier, I would tell my man if I was coming up to him, watch out. He's known to cut you. You see what I'm saying? That dude, he cuts ears. Put your hands up. This guy cuts ears. You see what I'm saying? This guy's bad. I've seen him. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. So the damsel comes up and says, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied him. He denied before them all, saying, I know it's not what thou sayest. Now, when he was going out into the porch, another woman, it says another maid came, saw him and said unto him, yo, was that the fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth? And again, he denied with an oath, meaning that he promised. I promise you, I was not with Jesus. And after a while came unto them, they stood by. A crowd came up to him. So one girl said, you ain't with Jesus. He was like, no. Another girl came and said, I have seen you with Jesus. He was like, I promise you, no, you haven't. Now a whole crowd of people have come around. And they were like, we done seen you with Jesus. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now, that's important because Jesus told him before he died, now look, you did all that, you know what I'm saying, that samurai stuff in the garden, but I just need you to know, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And even Peter to Jesus, who he knows the Son of God, no, Jesus, never. I would never. Come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? I love you, man. I was there. You washed my feet. I broke bread with you. You know what I'm saying? Never. If when they'd have to take me first. No, they took Jesus first. And then he denied him three times. This is the Christian that you really are. This is the Christian that we all really are. Don't feel bad, because you're going to learn later on that God built his rock upon Peter. So don't feel bad that you are like this Christian. But the truth is, you are. We're flawed. How many times have the opportunity come up for you to speak up for God? Amen. And you denied him? Amen. It's not always going to be, how do you feel about this issue? It's not always going to come up like that. Look, if the devil came up to you with horns and a red cape and a pitchfork, we'd all go to heaven because we'd all blow him away. We clearly see the enemy, but that's not what it's going to take, guys. It's going to take genuine love. That's the ingenuity behind God making us the way we are, if you haven't realized that. I know it all seems bad that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, but the only way to truly love someone is to really honestly go through struggle and be with them and love them. And the only way to do that is with the choices that you make. See, that was the whole thing that happened with the eating of the fruit, is we have the ability of choice now. That's the whole thing. You can choose now. A powerful thing. A very powerful thing. That's the only thing that separates you from the bad guy. It's choice. So that's what we're talking about now. It's choices. How often have you had the choice to speak up for God, but you chose to deny God? Or you chose not to be the best Christian at the time? That's denying God. That's running away. Now, I wonder if we know a good story of someone who ran away and ended up having to come back home. Don't all speak at once. You're thinking about the prodigals. Okay. All right. So let's, okay. I mean, since you brought it up, it sounds like a great idea. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 14. We'll talk about it. I'm doing good. I'm doing good on time. Son.
No.
Sorry. He thought it was time to run home now. Don't worry, people. I'm not going to hold y'all too much longer, because I think you see where I'm going. And I just want to bring it home to you, because there's a specific type of feeling I want y'all to understand. All right. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 15, verses 14. I'm going to read 14 through 24, but I'm going to read it. Well, you'll see. Well, we'll start actually at 11, I'm sorry. All right. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me now. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, let me stop there. I don't want y'all, because in the beginning of the story I told you that I had left my dad. I wasn't doing the worst of riotous living. You see what I'm saying? But I was not doing what God wanted me to do. That's important. It doesn't matter what you was doing. I don't care what you was doing. I don't care what your sin was, because sin is sin is sin. But the point is that, are you doing something other than what God wants you to do? Because if you're doing that, you're running away from God. It's all about coming back to God. You see what I mean? That's the whole point. That's why we're here at church, because we can't get to heaven without going through Jesus. So we're trying to be better Christians. So the whole thing is about us trying to come back to God. We was put at a certain distance when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit. So we all have to work our way back to God, but God used that to his advantage, because the only way we can truly love God is to go through these struggles. Job in 23:10, it says, after he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. But you got to go through that. Struggle breeds character. It also breaks you. It can break a lot of people. So, Here we have the son who says, I want my inheritance now. He takes it, he goes off, and he squanders it on riotous living. Right? So, and when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to want. Now, when I was doing all of these, what I thought cool things, you know, living by myself in my car, driving, squandering for money, dodging my dad's phone calls, I thought it was still cool because I was able to do whatever I wanted. You know what I'm saying? But the way God works, it just seems like, and it's been like this my whole life. Every time I try to get over on my dad, it just comes back. You know what I'm saying? He just finds out somehow. Like, I could go through all the precautions to hide a good lie. You know what I'm saying? I could put the lie on top of the lie on top of the lie on top of the super mega lie, and I could dress that up with an even better lie. And then I could go buy a lie from Walmart to dress it around that lie. And then that lie is really nice. And that, I mean, there's no way my dad will figure out. And then, boom, somehow God will shine a bead of light right there in the perfect spot that exposed the weakness in the whole armor. And my dad always figures out. And that's a metaphor for how it's been my whole life. I couldn't get away with nothing. You see what I'm saying? Nothing. And I used to hate that. Because I was like, what about me, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, what about me? My dad's lived his life. You know, he's living good. He's an officer in the military. I haven't learned nothing. Because he won't let me learn nothing. You know what I'm saying? He won't let me see nothing out here. I didn't realize I was being protected. I didn't realize I was being watched. I didn't realize my goal was bigger than that. I don't want no goal. Forget the goal. What about me? I just want to live. But that's selfish. This is not about you. Who is it about? God. God chooses whoever he wants to use. Now, I know, you know, one of my favorite stories is Moses. And me and Moses, I mean, look, we're like parallel. You know what I'm saying? When God came to him and was like, look, it's time for you to go set the people free. What was Moses like? Whoa, wait a minute. Time out, baby. Hold on. Hold your horses. You know what I'm saying? You got the wrong guy. I don't even know how to talk. You know I killed a man. People ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like, people ain't going to try to listen to me. This is wrong. You got the wrong man. I am supremely unqualified to do this. I'm not the right guy. And the reason why is because you know you're flawed. You know you're flawed. You know you messed up. But it is easier to be comfortable with your mistakes than it is to try to overcome them. So that's why you run away. That's why I ran away. I didn't want to. My dad was going to make me face my issues. And I didn't want to face them. No. That's too much like doing the right things. The curse ain't going to try to do that. I want to live, man. I want to drink a beer when I want to. Do whatever, man. My dad don't want me to do it. He want me to be right. Get a job. You know, do the right thing. I can't sleep all the time. The truth is, when God wants you to do something, like when your purpose is bigger than you, the only thing that can mess that up is you. And that's also another secret weapon to being a great Christian. The devil is not your greatest adversary. It's just that his greatest tool is you. And that's why he can seem like your greatest adversary. Because he fooled you into thinking he was this dragon, when it's really just you. There was no demonic entity putting a gun to my head and was like, Greg, don't pick up the gun. Don't pick up the phone when your daddy called. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, no demon threw me out the house and was like, quick, get in the car, press the gas, and don't look back. You know what I'm saying? No, I made all those decisions. I put myself in all of that. And I had to look at that demon, which was Greg Stanford, in the face and say, I'm not going to let you ruin my life no more. And that's what we all have to do. Right? That's what we all have to do. That's what this whole lesson was about, guys. It's 2021. Things are going to hit you from left, right, up, down. I have not even seen this type of stuff before. You know what I mean? Now, there's nothing new under the sun. This is the first time that I'm talking to you as a father and a husband now. You know, I preached before, but I was just like Dudley Do Right, Greg. I really haven't experienced the world. Then after I experienced the world, I ran away. So you know what I'm saying? So what that shows you as a preacher. But here I now, I come back. I'm married now. I got kids, and it's crazy out there. It's crazy out there, man. I never preached before with a pandemic, you know? And now there is a pandemic. Pandemic got people acting crazy. People don't know when to put the mask on, when to take the mask off. You know what I'm saying? Some people want to get a shot. Some people don't. Some people don't care. Some people do care. A lot of people died, though. That's what really matters. A lot of people died, though. So it's real. It's real. And we got to make it real. I mean, we have to accept it as a real thing. And as a Christian, you have to be a Christian in this real situation. No matter what it is, you always have to be a Christian. When it hits the fan, what are you going to be? People are looking to you for help. People are looking to you for help. And in the struggle, are you running towards God or are you running away? In the struggle. Are you running towards him? I mean, because we all agree that in a struggle, God's going to save us. Because we're all here. But in the struggle, are you running towards God or are you running away? It sounds stupid now to be running away from God, but I mean, think about the decisions you make when things get bad. Who do you turn to? Who do you find your resolve with? Yourself? Do you lean on your own understanding? Or are you listening to God? You answer that yourself, but I do want to remind you of a feeling when you do come back to God and how that feels. And I want you to remember that. I want you to think about that because, well, I'm going to tell you a story. We're going to skip down. And, actually, I'll just pick back up where I stopped at. And it says, and when he went and joined him, he wasted his substance on righteous living. Verse 14, and when he spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he got hungry, and his money ran out, and everybody's hungry now because the famine just hit the town. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and set him into his fields to feed swine. So he sold himself, became a slave, and the owner of him told him to go feed the pigs. And he would have fain have filled his belly with husk, and the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He ate what the pigs ate. That's how low he got, y'all. Now, he was doing so good that he asked his dad for an inheritance, which means back then, his dad has good money. His dad's living real good. And here he is now, thinking he was doing the right thing, thinking he was getting what he was entitled to, went out into the world, things got bad, he done sold himself to somebody. That man don't care about him. He said, go feed my pigs. He went out there, and he's so hungry that he was willing to eat what the pigs eat. I don't know if anybody has raised a pig, but I had the pleasure, the honor, to raise a pig from my parents, which is still under question because the pig somehow died. And people think I did it. So I mean, we just. We don't know what happened to Arnold. But anyway, the point is, pigs can be very nasty. And he ate what the pig ate. That's how low he is, y'all. Now, this is the key part I want y'all to hear. And when he came to himself. Now, in different versions of the Bible, it doesn't say when he came to himself. It says when he gathered himself, when he came to. But it is all talking about when he had an epiphany. When he realized, when it hit. When the light bulb turned on, this is what he said to himself while he was eating what the pigs were eating. This is what he said. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish here with no hunger? How many of my dad's servants, my dad's, they're not even my dad's kids. They work for my dad, and they living better than me. And I'm sitting here like, now, that may not seem like a lot, but that is a lot. That man had a beautiful, that is a beautiful moment right there. That's when the angels rejoice. because that's when the work starts. You see, you can't fix a problem until you realize there is a problem. You see what I'm saying? And the whole time he was doing all of this, he didn't realize there was a problem yet. You see? The famine hit, he didn't realize there was a problem. It's just something happened. Well, I'm going to go ahead and sell myself into slavery. See, the whole time he could have did this, he could have called his dad. You see what I'm saying? He could have been like, I don't want to do this, and I want to go back home. The whole time I was out in the world and I was homeless, I could have called my dad. And my dad would have came and got me at any minute. But I didn't want to face, I didn't want to face that. And that's what's wrong. It's hard to do the right thing. It is very, and look, there's no shame in saying that. Even Jesus said, Lord, if you could, take this cup from me. That's how hard it is to do the right thing sometimes. But you still got to do it. It's your job to do it. If you don't want to do it, don't be a Christian. Don't sign up for it. This, I know it's not the easiest thing in the world, but we have to do that because people are counting on us. We're going to be the only Jesus that some people see. They're looking at you. And when you act a certain way and do certain things, you destroy their chances of getting to heaven. You just completely strip someone of their chances of freedom. It is your responsibility, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, to uphold yourself to that. Because when people like me are lost in the world and they look for someone like that, they're looking for you. They're looking for anybody to be like, yo, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're going to do it. You can get through this. And it's your job to be that person. You know, when Lazarus died, Jesus went off to be alone and wept. I mean, not Lazarus, I'm sorry. When John the Baptist died, he went to be by himself. And still he was followed. He was still followed by multitudes of people. And that's when you hear the miracle about the 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, because he fed all of them. He still did the right thing. I may have the numbers backwards, but he still did the right thing, and that's the point. So the Bible says here in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father then seen him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. First of all, his father got a lot of money. But he was walking up to the house, and his father was still at the house, and him, I imagine, covered with dirt, you know what I'm saying, because he's been working in the fields. He does not look like how he did when he left. He probably lost weight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's probably skinny, because there was a great famine. He's probably skinny. He probably stinks. You know what I'm saying? He's drawing up. Dirt all over him, and yet and still, his father recognized him. His father was way off and still said, that's my boy. That's my son. In church, that's the same way my dad was when I had my epiphany. It was bad. I mean, it could have been worse, but it was bad. And my parents were right there. They recognize me. And that's something I held on to. Because you don't have to just be a parent to hold that type of love. A Christian. There's two types of love demonstrated right there. There's two types of love demonstrated. You know the story of the prodigal son. In fact, the lesson I'm preaching to you is really not the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach with the prodigal son. That older son is where that lesson comes in at. But that's not the point that I'm trying to teach to you. When the son comes back, he humbled himself to his father and was like, I've sinned. I messed up. I'm just hoping you do this for me. He humbled himself to his father. That's the type of love. That's one. But then his father. His father was selfless with his love. His father forgave him. You know, he asked his dad, if I could just work for you. I don't even have to be your son. I'll just work for you. I realize I messed up. I know I messed up. But it's bad out there. It's bad, baby. It's bad, man. I'll just do this. His dad was like, no. His dad told another servant, you go get the cleanest robe. You get the cleanest robe for my son. You go get that calf that we've been fattening up. And we're about to feast. We're about to celebrate. Because my son was once lost. And now he's found. And that's what it's about, people. That's what this whole lesson was about. I don't want you to be how Peter was prior to, or that I want you to be you. I want you to be a good Christian. I want you to always stand up. That's how you be a better you. Always try to get back to God. Always go in the direction of God. Whatever your decision is, whatever's going on, always ask yourself, is this in the direction that God wants me to go? Ask yourself that. That will guide everything else. Color, sickness, money, all of that is irrelevant. There is no black line in heaven. There's no rich line in heaven. There's no tall, white, brown. There's no none of those type of lines in heaven. So I can't preach you into heaven, nor can I preach you into hell, out of hell. You see what I'm saying? It's all equal. God did that on purpose. So we all got to help each other. We all in the same boat. We all in the same boat, guys. We've all been lost. We all have ran away from God because we've all made decisions that were not conducive to your faith. We've all made decisions that were more conducive to your physical being and not your spiritual being. And it's not all right, but don't feel alone. You're not alone. In fact, everyone here has made that mistake. That's why we're all here to get better. We're all here to get better. So with that being said, guys, that's the end of the sermon. It wasn't nothing flowery or beautiful. It's just straight up, I just want you to find your way back to God. If you feel like you was already close to God, get closer. Get as close as you possibly can, honestly, because we all need him. It's real bad out here right now. It's real bad. People are finding tons of ways to separate themselves. Who's sick, who's not sick, who even acknowledges the sickness, colors, money, all of that. All of these things are used to divide us. And the truth is, we are all one. We all just trying to get to heaven. And people lose sight of that. It's easy to lose sight of it. We're down on this plane, so you get caught up in this type of life. That's why Paul writes all the time, don't get caught up in this. It's not about this. It's not about this. And if we remember that, we focus on that, you focus on God, and you'll always go in that direction. Amen. Whatever you're focusing on, you're going to head in that direction, God. It's the same with driving. You know, that's one of the reasons why if you look at something, you sway to that side, because you focused on that. It's not your fault. I just want us all to remember that. Like I said, there was no title for this sermon because that's how genuine I just want us to be better people. I remember what it felt like being lost. And I remember each one of the people who I saw light in. My parents included. My parents was always showing light, but it's imperative that you show light as well. Whether you're a parent or not. You don't know who's watching. You don't know, and you don't know how you can help somebody. With that being said, if you are not a Christian, the steps of being a Christian, hear, believe, repent, being baptized for your sins, and acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, I could show you verses that are according to all of those steps. And if you are a Christian, there's something that you have on your heart, you can come forward. But guys, let's just all focus on being better. I am so serious. I have seen classmates die. I am hearing, I just buried an uncle a couple of weeks ago. Let's just all focus on being better. You don't know what could happen tomorrow. And I love you all. And I would love to see you all in heaven. And so let's just do that. Let's just all be great people. Just be great, all right? Let's remember that as we all stand and sing.